We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. We'll read verse 1.
And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?
Now here we see, when they're coming to the Rephidim, there is no water. Before that, when they came in the wilderness, and there was a water, but that water was bitter. And they murmur with Moses, and Moses talked to God, and God said, Okay, cut the tree, put it in the water, and water became sweet. After that, last time, if you remember, they start murmuring about food, and God gave them manna and a quail. Now they are marching again, start going. Here he says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed. I was thinking, when these people had the problem, always talking to Moses and saying, Why did you bring us to this wilderness? We would have be happy to die in Egypt. So if some people really didn't want to follow, they would have gone, right? They had freedom to go back. But he says, they always murmur and try to fight with Moses to get the things done. These people are not saying, let's Moses, let's pray together, let's talk to God. And I believe that one time we had a need of water and God gave the water. We needed food. He gave the food. And so I believe that God listens to your prayer. Let's have prayer meeting, right? Instead of prayer meeting, instead of praying to God, they are fighting with Moses and they are fighting with God. And Moses saying, you're not fighting with me. You are testing God. When I read the first word, he says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and they start going with Moses. So they wanted to go with Moses. They knew that God is going to bless, but instead of asking and praying, fighting, and there are some people, they want something, even the little babies, they start crying. I mean, they cry and cry to keep the baby quiet. Mommy gives something. And then the children get that kind of habit. All the time they cry. And so they get their things done. And so here we see Moses saying, you are not tempting me. You are not fighting with me. You are fighting with God. Verse 3.
And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?
Now, last time they said, we would have stayed in Egypt, eating the meat and everything, and we would have been dead there, that would be good. Before that they said, we should have been dead and buried in Egypt. Why did you bring us in the wilderness to kill us? But now he says, you are not only killing us, you are killing our children, and you are killing our cattle. And all of these things, you are doing it because you brought us in the wilderness to be killed. Now Moses did not fight with them, did not say, do you think I'm having pleasure to kill you people, bringing you from the Egypt? You were in the bondage, you were having lots of problems, and we prayed and we came out. It's not my fault. This is all our journey. We are in the journey. Sometimes water will be close, sometimes water will be not close. So, but he didn't say anything. He cries to God. Let's read verse 4.
And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.
Now, I don't know actually they were stoning, but they were very mad. And they would have killed Moses. So he's saying, Lord, what should I do? These people are very angry. They want to kill me. They want to destroy me. So give me some solutions. Let's read the verse 5.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
Now here God is saying to Moses, you are not going alone. You are going to take the children of Israel, the elders of Israel. And so elders, you go with them, Aaron will be with you, and you go, and he says, you go to the Mount Horeb, and I'll be there, and I will be in front of you, standing on that rock or something like that. And then he says, what you do, you have that rod. You use the rod to hit the rivers, and you did miracles with that rod. You can use that rod and hit the rock, and the water will come. And I was thinking, they have to climb on the mountain, and they have to take the, maybe elders, number is not given, maybe 70 elders. And he is saying, in front of those people, you hit the rock and water will come. Moses didn't have any doubt that God is not going to listen to my prayer, or God is not listening to my complaint. He believed in his heart, if I go and obey the Lord, water will come. Not even 70 elders or these elders, they did not say, you did all kinds of miracle before, why are you taking us? They followed him. And then when he went there, he says he did according to the word of God. What the word of God says, according to he did. And God was standing right at the rock, and he hit the rock and water came. Now can you imagine when you go to the top of the mountain, and actually if you even dig the rock, water will not come. Don't go to the top of the mountain somewhere and hit the rock, and he did, and water start coming. Not only little bit, water start gushing. Let's read verse 7.
And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim.
Now can you imagine, here they murmur about the water. Water came, now they have enough water to drink. They are happy, joyful, glorifying God, but problem is ahead. These people didn't understand why this happened. Up to now, they were journeying it. Nobody came to fight with them. This is the first time the enemy is coming to fight with the children of Israel. And this Amalek, do you know who Amalek is? He is the Esau's grandson. Now these people are coming. This Amalek knows Abraham's, these children are all Abraham's children, because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, and then their children, and their children's children, they're all coming. So Amalek knows this is the Abraham's people. But the Esau married to Ishmael's daughter, so they are all Muslim. And when this Amalek, he was the head of all Muslim leaders. Actually, from Amalek came Saudi Arabian people. And so he comes to fight with the children of Israel. I was thinking, why in the world this man has to come to fight? Because sometimes what happens when we go astray, when we go against God, then the enemy comes. Until that enemy doesn't have power over us, because there is a hedge of protection over us. But when we break the commandment, or when we make God mad, or when we do something wrong, then the enemy comes to attack us. So here the enemy is coming to attack these people. Moses doesn't go to God. Moses doesn't say, God, what should I do now? When there was no water, he went to God, right? He said, Lord, what should I do? These people are crying. But when the Amalek comes, and he might have seen, hey, we are more than six million people or 600,000 people, and those people are not that many, so we can take care of them. And so I don't think he went to God, or he just have a committee meeting, or call the elders of Israel and start praying or planning or doing anything. But he just said to Joshua, we are going to fight with these people. Let's read verse 9.
And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.
God has given me this rod. A few minutes ago, a few days ago, God told him, hey, you have the rod, hit the rod, and water will come. So he knew, this rod God has given to me, and I believe with this rod we can fight. Now he was not fighting with the people with the rod. He was just going to hold the rod up, and he believed that way God will defeat the people, the Amalek people. That's what he was thinking. And so he told Joshua, take some men, the fighters, or what you call warriors, and we will fight with them tomorrow. And so God did not allow them to attack until next day. Maybe they saw them coming, and these people were preparing for themselves. And so he says, I'm going to go on the mountain or the top of the hill, and we will fight. There is nowhere we read in the book of Exodus from the beginning to here, they were practicing a war, or they were practicing to fight with the enemy. But when they were coming from Egypt, God says, this is my army. You remember when the Pharaoh was going to come to attack them, God says, this is God's army. So these people in the wilderness, I believe they learned practicing war, because they knew they have to defeat seven nations and 31 kings. And so they were practicing war. And here this is the first battle, and Moses told Joshua, prepare the people and let's go, and we are going to fight, and I'm going to take the God-given rod and we will fight with these people. Verse 10.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
Moses made Joshua maybe captain of army, and he went and he said, okay, whatever you say, we'll go and fight with them. And then here goes Aaron with him and Hur. Hur also is the man with Caleb's family. So Joshua and Caleb, we will be reading, they are the two people went to Promised Land. And so this Hur is also from Caleb's family. And the Caleb family comes from Judah's family. And so they are warrior. You remember, from Judah comes Jesus. And Jesus becomes the king. And Judah's family, David came. So these people, God had chosen to be kings. And so here we see the Hur is with him, and Aaron is with him, and Moses. Now three people went to the top of the mountain, and most of the people were fighting. Verse 11.
And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
He might be holding his hand like this, and the people were fighting. And as long as he is holding his hand, the Israeli people were winning. And so he might have got tired and hand went down. They didn't know. When his hand went down, the enemy started attacking. And so he might have tried again, and they start winning. So finally he came to know. Because when I'm keeping the rod up, the enemy is defeated. When I keep the rod down, we are defeated. And so he got the idea. So Aaron and Hur says, okay, we got an idea. You sit on this rock, we'll hold your hands, and then the enemy will be defeated. Rod was the God's rod. Moses got the idea, I'm going to show the rod to up, and then enemy will be defeated. But Moses started getting weak and tired, and he was keeping his hand down and enemies start defeating them. So what we're learning here, the word of God says battle is of the Lord. So he learned think that this rod is helping, but I am weak. When I get tired, we are defeated. So the Aaron and Hur says, okay, we got an idea, we hold your hand. And so they start holding his hand, and the enemy were defeated. Here we see, anything we do, this is not one man's work. We need everyone in the church, even the pastor, assistant pastor, or church members, they all together have the same mind, and God gives us victory. Moses says, I cannot do it alone, I need help. So both people holding his hands, and they defeated the enemy. And so the God is trying to say, we need unity. Without unity, we cannot fight with the enemy. House divided itself, it will not stand. So that means we need a unity. Husband and wife, if they have war, if they're fighting all the time, and they disagree all the time, and then whatever they pray, it doesn't work. The church has to have unity and prayer, and that's the way it works.
We read 11.
Okay, so read this 12.
But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
Now, hand were steady until the going down the sun. So, we don't know what time the battle started. I just think it's the morning time they started. And now, they are holding his hand until the evening. If you keep your hand up for a long time, you will have a hard time pulling down because your muscle will get weak. There was a one man standing on one foot for 18 years and he could not stretch his foot back. Because when you keep your body in certain position and if you don't move, and then your body will not function properly. Blood circulation will not go properly. But thank God, there was no blood clot in his body. There was no sickness and disease on his body. And he was not complaining. Only thing he says is his hand were heavy. And so he needed some help. But here we see, even though God did a miracle, but Moses and Aaron and Hur, they were dedicated no matter what. They didn't know how long it will take. It took an evening. Now just think, if the battle didn't get over evening, they will be holding his hand whole night and day, and I don't know how many days. But God defeated the enemy, and God did not want Moses to suffer a lot. But I believe in my heart, if Moses would have said to God, Lord, we are in the jungle, we are in this wilderness, I need your help, and you defeat the enemy, God could do anything. We will see in the Bible, many times God confused the people, they start killing themselves, they run from some kind of noise, and God can do anything, an enemy can be defeated. But he did not ask God, this is a simple thing. I have the rod and let's go and have the battle. But I think Moses might have learned hard way. This is not my battle. This is battle of the Lord. We are the armies of God. We are the children of God. And we are following the word of God or following him, because God told him, when the God gives you the pillar, will guide you daytime, the cloud of pillar, nighttime, the pillar of fire. So they cannot move without God's permission. So they were journeying, and all of a sudden this came. I believe that Moses is supposed to be praying or asking God, and he did not ask God, and he got on his flesh in his power, and that's why so many people got hurt, because they were several times they were defeated when his hand went down, and so many people might have killed. The number is not given. But finally, God gave him a victory. So from this we learn, we do not have to think that we can do all things. We have to trust we can do all things only through Christ. Paul is saying, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We have no power to do anything. Even though some people, they claim to be healers, and they do signs and wonders and miracles, but I believe not a single man has a power to heal anybody without Jesus. If they take the Jesus out of their life, they would not be able to do anything. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the one who does miracle. But here we learn the enemy came, God did not allow them to defeat, but God said, okay, what you need now, you need unity. But they might have saying, Lord, help us, because I'm getting tired, I'm getting weary, I have no more strength. And so God gave them the victory. Verse 13.
And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Now here he's saying, Joshua defeated the enemy, and those people were so weary and discomfort and maybe running for their life, and they were defeated. And God says to Moses, you know what? Write down this, what I'm saying. What God was saying, you saw this Amalek, and this Amalek came to fight with you. I'm going to defeat this enemy. Not only that, I'm going to take them away from the earth. Means there will be no Amalek name will be remembered. He says, from under the heaven. And this was a good idea. God gave it to Moses. You were afraid of Amalek. Tell the Joshua and write it down and repeat in his ears. That means he said, not only write it down, I don't want you to forget, but you tell somebody, mean Joshua, so he will remember also. That gives me idea. Once you have some plan or vision or anything God gives to you, you write it down. Not only write it down, you tell others what God is going to do. So if God tells me something, I tell somebody. And I tell so many people, and somebody say, why are you repeating? I said, well, I don't want to forget. When I tell somebody, it confirms that you believe that it's going to happen. And so Moses supposed to write it down and then tell the Joshua, this is what God told me. This Amalek, God is going to destroy. And not only destroy, their name will be completely vanished under the heaven. That means they will be completely defeated, and there will be no Amalek name will be remembered. That's what God said. God was able to destroy those people right away, because he did not say it will take time. Please read that verse 14 one more time.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
See, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. So God did not say it will take years and years. He says, I'm going to do it. But the Moses took it this way, that it will take a long time. Let's read the verse 15.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Now here he says, God was with us. God's banner was with us. So God gave us grace to win. God's presence was here. But the verse 16 he says, God made the promise with us that this Amalek he will destroy, but it will take generation to generation. When these Israeli people were coming from Egypt, and they met so many people. They have seven nations' names are given, and they are all gone. Their name is not there, and they are gone. Now the Amalek name is not there, but Amalek people, as I said, they are Muslim people. They are Arabian people. They are still here. As Moses said, God is going to destroy these people from generation to generation. And so this fight start when they were coming from Egypt, and then that fight or that battle is not over yet. And so this will go generation to generation. But that there is a timing. When Jesus Christ comes and defeats all these Muslim nations. Jesus Christ comes, he goes to Basra, defeated the enemy in the Iraq and Iran, and then he comes to Jerusalem and destroys all the Muslim leaders and Muslim enemies. So that verse will come true. Here it says, when we read in the verse 14, their name will not be remembered and they will be vanished. Only Muslim people will be allowed in the millennium who are Christians are saved. But most of the people will be defeated in the Battle of Armageddon. And when Jesus Christ comes, we see he get hold of Antichrist and the false prophet, that is in Revelation chapter 19, and he puts them in a lake of fire. The devil was cast before the 1,000 years, cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, that is in chapter 20. But after the millennium, the devil was loose again. And then he goes to Gog and Magog and gather all the people, and the word of God says that will be the final battle, and the devil will be defeated, and then he will be cast into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and false prophet is, and he will be there for eternity. And after that we read the white throne judgment, and after the judgment, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And so that's the way it's going to be ending. Amalek comes from Esau's grandson, and there are Muslim people coming from Ishmael as well as Esau. Just like a Christian, we have so many denominations. Muslim also have so many denominations, but for us, we think their Muslims are one. They have so many problems. So the point I'm making, this war is still going on, but according to this word, Israeli people are not going to be defeated, but the enemy will be defeated. I was in India when the 67 war was happening, and people start asking me, Pastor Peter, what's going to happen? Israel, very tiny country, and all other enemies all around, what's going to happen? And I told these people, Israeli people will not be defeated. Now they will be not defeated, and no one has power to defeat Israel. According to the word of God, one by one these Muslim nations will be destroyed. And so Israeli people really reading this book of Exodus or book of Jeremiah or book of Isaiah and all these books, they will know God is going to destroy Muslim people. They don't have to be worried. They don't have to be afraid. And our job is telling people, come to Jesus Christ. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You will be saved. God will protect you. Now, in Iran, I heard each and every day, hundreds and thousands of Muslim people coming to Christ. And so they said, Iran will be one day Christian nation. Sounds so difficult, because Antichrist is coming, and most of the Muslim people will be with him. So it's a little bit hard to understand. Just think about China. China is great army, and everybody's thinking this army coming from the east. As soon as when you say army from the east, comes in your mind China and India. They are the very powerful countries. Now India was a little bit behind than China in the population, but now India is coming up, and China's population is going down because they have one child policy, and they cannot reproduce so many children, so they are having problem. Now they are telling people, you now instead of one child, now two child policy they are starting now. The point I'm making, in China, hundreds and thousands of Chinese are coming to Christ. And some people are even predicting China might be Christian country before India comes. And so we believe this is the end time we are living. How much time we have, we don't know. We are ready. Anytime Jesus comes, we are ready. We don't have to worry at all. The wars and the rumors of wars is happening all the time. Just think about the World War I and World War II happen. All the Christians, what they might be thinking at that particular time. They might be thinking Jesus Christ is coming, and they were ready. So same way, we have to be ready all the time. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. We are just reading this to remind ourselves, battle is not ours. Battle is of the Lord, and God will take care of us. What Jesus Christ said, occupy until I come. Each and every believer, if you start praying is like a warfare, right? We're praying is a battle. So we want to fight the enemy and win the battle. We cannot win without God. Moses tried with his strength, but he was failing. We need a grace of God. So let's pray and ask God to give us grace and the wisdom. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We see an example of children of Israel. You call them from the darkness. You call them from the slavery. You call them from the sinful city or sinful country. And they were journeying. They had food. They had water. They had everything. But they keep on murmuring. And then the enemy comes to defeat them. But you gave them victory anyhow. Lord Jesus, please forgive our shortcomings. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. With Christ, we can do all things. Without Christ, we will fail. Without Christ, we will be defeated. So Lord Jesus, we need your grace. And we need your power. Bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay.